4th of May. It's 1:02, 1:03 in the afternoon. We welcome you. We are a couple of minutes late, but the House ran late today in our session. We have a group of work sessions before us today. We hope that Representative Nelson may be able yet to join us. Colleagues, we will begin. Now we're going to be just a little bit of out of order from what has been published, but we will still cover the same bills. I anticipate that we may delay any vote today on House Bill 3333, House Bill 2737, and House Bill 2847. So with that, we will begin House Committee on Revenue today with a work session on House Joint Resolution 34 as they engross. Mazin, will you begin the work session for us, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just to refresh your memory in House Joint Resolution 34 as A engrossed. It is a House Joint Resolution which is a constitutional amendment referred to the voters, and in that constitutional amendment we'll be asking the voters to approve a 1% dedication of the lottery revenues, net proceeds, to be dedicated to the services of veterans. Now, in addition to that 1%, or taking that 1%, the amended, the A11, or -A11 amendment, makes that 1%, and also into it have a sub-dedication of different percentages of the amounts resulting from that 1% into different funds. And in the revenue impact statement that you have in front of you, or in your file, you would find that total amounts of the 1% dedication, and that is starting in the 07-09 biennium, not the 05-07, and that will be about $10.4 million for that biennium.
That would be 1% of the total lottery at that point, $10.4 million.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
However, it is important to remember that if House Bill 3466 becomes law, that amount might be reduced by about $50,000 because of the total pot that would be allocated by percentages from that point on.
Remind me what 3466 is, Mazin.
3466, Mr. Chair, is the one that dedicates 1% to college athletics by taking away
sports
the
action.
Sports action.
Okay.
So it reduces the total amounts coming to lottery revenues from sports action. Mm-hmm. And as current law stands, that is part of the base that you calculate against. Now, just a quick reminder of how the amendments occurred. There were a number of them, and on your meeting on the 6th of this month, you adopted as a committee the A9 and the A10. And the A9 basically was the sub-dedication into the different funds for veteran service officers, rehabilitation services, and educational assistance, 5% each, and then the remainder at 27%, that will be divided between the different categories of use later on. And then the A10 brings down the 1.5% in the original House Joint Resolution to 1%. So that's where we are in the process. And
now, Mazin, the A11 has some of the effect of the A9 and A10 in it by reducing from 1.5 down to 1%.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. This A11 is a combination of both. A9 looks very much like the A11, but with 1.5%. Then the A10 came on top of that and reduced all of them to 1%. One more important thing that these amendments have done is stayed away or steered away, if you will, from the changes that were at one point coming from the percentages constitutionally dedicated to parks. That
conflict is being resolved here.
That conflict is no longer an issue with, or it's not a conflict, it's dealing with two issues within one measure.
Okay.
So that is no longer in effect or no longer is a problem because it restores back all the percentages previously or currently in the Constitution.
Thank you. Representative Boquist is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I believe the A11 is already appended to House Bill 34, I believe. I think we have two work sessions. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman? That is correct.
The effect is the A11 is appended by the dash 9 and 10 being appended.
Right. Okay. Mr. Chair, I move House Joint Resolution 34 as amended to the floor with a due pass, and I'll address the motion afterwards.
Okay. The motion is to move House Joint Resolution 34, as amended with the dash 9s and 10s, previous work sessions, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. To your motion, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to know that some of us don't really have a life between... At 9 o'clock last night, I listened to the 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 43 seconds of last Thursday's meeting so that I would be prepared to respond to questions. As everybody knows, the bill came out of Veterans. We had a bit of a constitutional conflict that came up from Legislative Council. The amendments addressed that. We discussed the issue two work sessions ago or two hearings ago in regards to the 1.5% and the 1% to come up, of course, with the A11 that we had. In last Thursday's meeting, which I wasn't here, I know one of the issues that was brought up on the definition of county veteran service officers in regards to the amendment. I would point out for the members of the committee that House Bill 2700 and Senate Bill 10, which are now in process, Senate Bill 10 is co-sponsored by Speaker Minnis and President Courtney, actually have definitional language in them in their appropriations bill for the present biennium, which is 0507. The intent, of course, of House Joint Resolution 34 is to address a more permanent source of funding 2 years out in front of us, which is 07 forward. So that language is in there. I did, for the record, members of the committee, and Commissioner John Lindsay raised some issues last Thursday, and I had a discussion yesterday at some length, and of course he was very concerned that Jim Willis, the director of Oregon Department of Veterans, was on board with any of the amendments and how he proceeded. And I did, in fact, talk with Jim at the Department of Veterans, and I think that Paula Brown, who's sitting in the back, can confirm that. One of the other issues that did come up was the issue of there might be 9 counties that aren't included in this House Joint Resolution. That is, in fact, incorrect. The 9 counties would have not been included had we amended it additional. And so right now the language exists in Senate Bill 10, House Bill 2700, and also House Joint Resolution 34 gives the authority to the Director of Veterans Affairs to establish and monitor those programs. So all of the issues that were raised, and I would point out, I did, as I told Mac McDonald, who's sitting there in the audience, I had to listen to him at 10:45 last night on the tape. The veteran groups are all on board. And again, Mr. Chair, what we're simply asking is to give the voters of the state of Oregon an option to fund some of the existing programs that we have permanently and guarantee funding. Because I don't think times change and politics change, and 2 years from now, when the veteran might not be as popular, it's not the veteran's fault that he doesn't have that popularity. And so this is a mechanism that when it passes the committee on the floor and we get out of the Senate, that I will be one of the individuals that works on it to get it, once it's on the ballot, passed by the people. Thank you.
So the page 4 of the House Resolution 34 engrossed, the line 9, services provided by veteran services officers accredited through the Oregon DVA, is not necessary. That accreditation language is not necessary.
As it's written right now, it will have the same effect.
I see. Okay.
Because we have three options really. You have Senate Bill 10, which the Speaker and the Chair, or the Speaker and the President have that language. We have 2700, which may be the funding mechanism, which has that language already in it. And then we have the empowerment that's already given to the Director of Veterans Affairs. So we have three courses of action to make sure that is in fact interpreted correctly.
Excellent. This is a constitutional amendment, and that language then, services provided by veteran services officers would be, I assume that statutorily that's all being addressed, is what you're telling us.
Yes,
okay.
Mr. Chair, it is.
Further discussion on the motion. The motion is to move the House Joint Resolution 34 as amended previously be adopted. Continued discussion? Any further discussion? Let's call a roll. The motion is to move House Joint Resolution 34 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. It would thus be engrossed when it hits the floor.
Okay, Representative Oakland.
Yes.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Felicio.
Aye.
Representative Comp.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger.
Aye.
Chair Butler.
The chair votes aye, and we will excuse Representative Haas, Vice Chair Haas. With that, having received the constitutional majority of the members of the committee, House Joint Resolution 34, the motion passes. House Joint Resolution 34 will go to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Representative Boquist will create it. Thank you, Representative Boquist, for the work that you've done on this and the other veterans matters we'll yet be discussing. We will close the work session on House Joint Resolution 34A and open a work session on House Bill 3945.
You mean 2945?
I beg your pardon. Stampede to apologize. We're opening a work session on House Bill 2945.
American.
I beg your pardon. We're taking these out of order, as I've mentioned earlier. Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2945A increases the tax exemption for qualified disabled veterans and modifies the eligibility requirement for a property tax exemption. The exemption amount is changed to $15,000 of assessed value for a disabled veteran and $18,000 for a veteran with a service-connected disability. The modified eligibility requirement is that a household is that income may not exceed 185% of the federal poverty guidelines, and it becomes effective July 1, 2006. Background we've discussed before at the initial hearing is that any ward veteran who is certified by either the Department of Veteran Affairs or a licensed physician as having 40% or more disability will be eligible to qualify for an exemption from property tax. The eligibility is currently based on the veteran's income, which may not exceed certain levels that vary by size of household. Current law also allows the surviving spouse of a veteran to the exemption. Under current law, okay, the amount of the exemption on the assessed value is roughly $10,000 relative to the proposed $15,000 for a disabled veteran, and current law is roughly $13,500 for service-connected disabilities relative to the proposed $18,000. In FY03-04, roughly 38,000 qualified veterans or their spouses received an average exemption of about $12,000. The Department of Revenue's expenditure report suggests the estimate for 03-05 current law will be about $12.9 million based on current law. The estimate for 05-07 is about $13.7 million.
And Mary, that's all property taxes to be collected, including the local share and the school share.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
The estimates that I've put together reflect a couple of assumptions that I'll just mention briefly to you. One is that I believe the original estimate in the expenditure report for the 37,500 applicants in 03-04 might be growing a little bit, so I had assumed maybe anywhere from 1 to 1.5% increase over the next 2 years beyond 0304. I looked up at the Department of Veteran Affairs, Oregon's Department of Veteran Affairs. In 2001, a report published by that department said 43,000 disabled veterans had been served that year. And so, given the fact that we're in a war mode, I wanted to increase that a little bit. So that conservatively assumes about 900 persons would be added to the estimates of claimants that are eligible for these exemptions. The other factors that are influencing the estimates are the changes in the exemption amounts, okay, which we've discussed a few minutes ago. Also, the eligibility requirements have been changed slightly so that more applicants would actually be eligible. We're changing from the flat, you know, income requirement, which is actually not indexed to anything, to the federal poverty levels, which are typically indexed, you know, to some inflation rate, cost of living.
And that's so, at 185%. And that is not household income.
Right, that is veteran. That's an error there.
Okay.
And based on those assumptions, I went through some, you know, simulations and came up with an estimate that I thought was fairly reasonable for 0507. The incremental increase would be about $1.96 million for 0507.
Okay.
And $4 million in 0709.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Reverend Tom?
If I recall from some figures I was looking at last week, Mary, isn't that income tax approximately, when it says 185% of the federal poverty, isn't that about $17,000 a year?
It is. I have
a
table.
It's a pretty low number.
I have a table that I got for that.
Okay.
And it shows that it varies. Well, for one person, obviously, it's for one person, it's current level is 2005, 9,000 for one person.
That's 100% FPL.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the reminder.
Thank you. Representative Boquist is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2945, Kasem Gross, to the floor with a two pass.
Representative Boquist moves House Bill 2945, presently A, engrossed, to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. To your motion, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to thank the Chairman of Veterans. This bill, of course, came from Veterans to us with a unanimous recommendation out of Veterans. And, of course, I know she was here last Thursday, you know, pointing out that some of the good work that the Veterans Committee has been doing. And to that success, Representative Hunt, Representative Farr, Representative Calm, and Kevin O'Reilly, who we heard from last Thursday from Paralyzed Veterans, sat down and worked together with some of the other entities and organizations that are impacted by this to come up with this bill. So that we got everybody to buy off, and what we're trying to do is simply take an older program, enhance it, and kind of bring it up to standards right now. The one thing that I would hope doesn't happen is that we don't see 900 additional disabled veterans in the next 4 years. And that's got nothing to do with this bill, but I just hope it doesn't happen. And I'd urge my colleagues on the committee to support this bill. If not, I'm a dead man with Representative Hunt, because I told him he didn't need to come here. We'd take care of it. So.
Another disabled veteran.
That's right, right here.
Further discussion of the motion to move House Bill 2945. Is there any further discussion?
No.
The motion is to move House Bill 2945, that's previously A, engrossed, to the House with a due pass recommendation. Let's do a roll call vote on that. Representative Nielsen, we've got a spot right here at the dais for you. Christy?
Representative Boquist?
Yes.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Felicio?
Aye.
Representative Tom?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Haas?
Aye.
And Chair Butler?
Butler votes aye. With that, will House Bill 2945, having received the constitutional majority required votes, will move to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Boquist, will you carry that, please?
I'd be delighted to, unless Representative Hunt, who is the actual sponsor of the bill, wants to. I can check with him.
Okay.
Yeah, he probably will.
Yeah, that would be appropriate. And I think where it's coming out of this committee, I would assign both of you to carry it one time, if you would please. So I'm going to show Boquist Hunt, Representatives Boquist and Hunt, and unless otherwise noted. With that, we will close the work session on House Bill 2945. We will move on to House Bill 3334. Again, out of order, House Bill 3334. We will open a work session on House Bill 3334. Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3334A-5 is presented for you with an impact of, you know, $0.29 million. And basically what it does is it grants a property tax exemption on homestead property up to $60,000 of assessed value if claimants satisfy the following criteria. They're members of the Oregon National Guard, military reserves, or active militia, and two, after performing service under Title II, change their status to performing service under Title X for more than 178 days during the tax year in which the exemption is claimed.
Those are mutual, but they must do both. Members of the National Guard, military, and performing service under Title 32, change of status, perform Title 10 for 178 days,
That's
more
correct.
Than 178 days.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Yeah. Provides for refunds if taxes have been paid, requires that the exemption amount will grow annually by 103% during the time period that the homeowner is eligible to claim the exemption. It creates an April 1 filing date for the exemption that must be applied to each year, adds a $10 filing fee if persons filed for the exemption the prior year but did not file in time, and it stipulates that the exemption will pertain to homestead property that only one valid claim will be allowed. A claim must be submitted by either the qualified person or the lawful occupant of the homestead that is owned by the qualified property. I presented for you a summary of the previous amendments just so that you could see how the dollar impacts changed over time, and the initial estimate as the 3334A engrossed bill had different language, the most important of which was that it had the 30-day requirement in there, but also as opposed to the 178 requirement. I don't think that that is the main factor that dropped the estimate down. However, I really owe a lot to Representative Boquist, who was able to get a really good data set for us. And prior to his getting that, I was at 8.6 million in 05-07, as opposed to what I reconsidered as 3.6 million based on the data set that Representative Boquist could get for me. Okay, and then after we, as we discussed those estimates, we realized that the 178-day rule was needed in order to bring those numbers down to what the intent of the proposal was, to focus on men or women that had been mobilized in support of war effort, which is very different than, you know, just being, let's say, active. Is that the correct word?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. Thank you. And so the estimate is currently at 0.29 million. Really does not pertain to, you know, tens of thousands of people, more likely like 400 to 500 people at most. And so the estimate has dropped substantially. That was all presented to you. The lower estimate of the 0.29 plus $0.31 million for the two biennium was presented to you a few weeks ago. However, we did a dash 3, 4, and 5 amendments. 3 and 4 were just simply, there were some errors, typos that we had to clear up. They never got here to be reviewed. The dash 5 amendment was clarifying language that Representative Boquist and Representative Comp, I think that's K-O-M-P-S.
Yeah, just the young lady presented. Just down here to her left.
And there was no substantive change to the bill.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much. Representative Boquist is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 3334 as amended to the floor with a please pass.
The motion is to move House Bill 3334 as amended with the A5 amendments, mm-hmm. through the A5 amendments, be moved to the House with a due pass recommendation. To your motion, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, I'd like to thank Representative Nelson, and whose committee on veterans, of course, brought this out unanimously. During that, when we did bring that to the committee, Representative Krupp did raise the issue of the 30 days versus 178 days. The time factor, we just had to move it over to this committee and then amend it here. As Mary pointed out, there wasn't a substantive change over into the 178 days and clarifying that. I would further like to thank Senator Gordon Smith, who provided the data set of information, not me, which gave a listing of exactly which members of which components of the service are in the state of Oregon. So therefore, Mary had the figures to start with in which to address this issue. And the merits of this, again, what we're trying to do is take care of our soldiers that are mobilized from our reserve component units, National Guard Reserve, so on and so forth, and then put on active duty and then, you know, protect those during that period. And with that, I urge the committee's support of this, this amendment or this bill as it's before the committee.
Point of clarification, Representative Berger.
The motion is A and Groves 3334 dash A5, the dash 5 amendments.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, we did the A5 amendments, I believe, two work sessions
ago.
We're already adding to the bill.
Okay. I'm happy.
Representative Nelson, thank you for your good work on this. Can we? Do you have any input that you'd like to offer?
No, thank you. We've discussed it already, and I think we should move on.
Thank you very much. There is a note that I've got in my file here that I'd like to enter into the record from Michelle Deister from the League of Oregon Cities, saying that with the A5 objections that she has no objection to, or with the A5 amendment, she has no objection to the 3334 as previously engrossed with the A-A5s, and we'll get that into the record. Any further discussion of the motion? The motion is to move House Bill 3334 with the A5 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Folkless.
Yes.
Representative Esposito.
Aye.
Representative Galicia.
Aye.
Representative Tom.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hess?
Aye.
And Chair Butler?
Well, there votes aye. House Bill 3334A5, having received the constitutional majority of the committee, is passed to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Boquist, would you and Representative Krupp, as the originators of that bill, please consider co-carrying that? Thank you very much. With that, we will close the work session on House Bill 3334, and we'll open up a work session on House Bill 2933. Elizabeth? Thank you, Elizabeth.
Chairman Butler and committee members, for the record, I'm Elizabeth Martin Mahar with Legislative Revenue Office. So with House Bill 2933, you have a dash A2 amendment, and basically that is just trying to clarify what was the intent of the bill originally. So it is replacing the existing bill, but is putting more language around basically the exemption amount. So what it is doing is eliminates the outstanding personal income tax liability, interest, and penalties for a member of the armed forces who is on active duty or who is a member of the National Guard, the military reserve forces, or other militia performing services under Title 10 for 90 days or more consecutive days, and there's a loss of their life while on active duty. So for those who do lose their life on active duty, it's eliminating that outstanding personal income tax liability. Then it specifies that the personal income tax interest and penalties elimination is provided to taxpayers who die on active military duty on or after September 11, 2001. And so it's going back to September 11, 2001, which is what the original bill did not do. So this is why the A2 is necessary. It's restricting the outstanding tax liability, interest, and penalties to the period of time that the military personnel had been on active military duty It also then permits the taxpayers to amend their prior year's tax returns until December 31st, 2006. It allows all Oregon active duty military personnel 6 months after they return to Oregon to pay their unpaid personal income tax liability, interest, and penalties. So that is something that was already in the original bill. And then it's effective for future active military personnel returning to Oregon on or after 90 days after the end of legislative session. So just so everyone's clear, too, what you have and under current law is the Department of Revenue does have a role, and they have the authority to waive or reduce taxpayers' tax owed, interest, and penalties assessed for taxpayers who can show good and sufficient cause. In the Department of Revenue rule, they do specify that good and sufficient cause does include the tax payment being delayed by the death of a taxpayer or death in a taxpayer's immediate family. So that's already in rule. In addition, good and sufficient cause does include a delay in the tax payment caused by an unavoidable absence of the taxpayer from the state prior to the due date of the tax return. So basically, with the 6 months being able to have that time period in which Oregonians can come back and then pay their personal income tax liability, I assume that already under current law they would be able to have the penalties and interest waived given the Department of Revenue rule. But this would obviously clarify that they would also be allowed then additional 6 months in which to pay that. So for that component of the bill, there really is just a timing issue of when actually the state would be receiving those personal income taxes. It's not that they would be forgiven or anything. So what I assumed in the revenue impact statement is just for those families that had a death of a soldier that was serving overseas, and that's roughly 41 different deaths that we've seen since September 11th, 2001. And so I assumed an average tax rate of roughly $1,300 of tax liability that in 1 year would be forgiven for for these families. And that's an average tax rate of between above $15,000 and less than $50,000 as far as the average tax for that those income groups. And so that's a revenue loss then of roughly since it's going to be all paid before December 31st, 2006 of those prior years or prior deaths and stuff, then it would be to the 2005-07 biennium a reduction of $70,584,000. But in future bienniums, it's going to be minimal, less than $50,000 in 07-09.
You said 70 million?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say 70,000? Sorry. So in 05-07 biennium, $70,584.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Okay, and then the revenue loss in the future would be less than $50,000 each biennium, with 07-09 only about $12,000 loss. So it won't be big in the future. It's just those prior years, since you are allowing people to amend their tax returns, that's where you're getting the revenue loss in 05-07 biennium.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. You've heard the recommendation, or you've heard this information. The chair recognizes Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Dash 2 amendment to the bill.
To your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you go back to the original bill that the good Representative Nelson brought forth and it came through unanimously through the Veterans Committee, line 19 and 20, section 3, identifies the intent that this go back to 2001, January 31st, 2001. It was in the original bill. It was in the original staff summary. However, when, for better words, the revenue legals and the revenue department looked at it, it was not completely clear to them that it applied to those people that died and how exactly it applied. Thus, the only thing the Dash 2 amendment does do is, in fact, amend the bill to ensure the intent of Section 3 of the original bill, which is this goes back to 2001, covering those individuals that, of course, died in the service of this country. And that's really the whole of the Dash 2. I expect once we're past it, Representative Nelson will want to speak to her own bill.
So this the Dash 2 goes back to the 9/11/01.
January 1, 2001.
Yeah, it's for deaths that occur after September 11th, the tax liability back to 2001.
Okay. The motion is to append the Dash A2 amendments to House Bill 2933. Further discussion? Representative Nelson, this is your bill.
Yes. Thank you. Deborah Buchanan had a couple questions, and I was just not, you know, fully understanding the dash twos at that time. Did not know what we should do. And one of the questions is, does this bill make it certain that an individual who dies later of injuries, you know, that's months ago, does this take care of those individuals?
Chairman Butler and Representative Nelson, you mean, where her question was, does it go in the future too?
Well, I'm just saying, what she said to me was that the IRS forgives income tax debts for taxpayers who die as a result of injuries received in a combat zone. Are we trying to expand this to include deaths occurring outside combat zones while on active duty? Or an individual who dies later of injuries that occurred when they were in a combat zone?
Mm-hmm. Well, Representative Nelson, the way the bill's written, it does just talk about active duty, so it doesn't say combat zone. So I would imagine then if this is probably broader than this combat zone.
Yeah, if I look at Section 2 of the A2 Amendment, lines 2 through 9, the section applies to taxpayers who are a member of the Armed Services of the United States, active for duty for 90 consecutive days, member of the Guard, military service forces, organized militia, any state or territory of the United States who perform those services in a status under Title 10, United States Code, for a period of 90 consecutive days or more, and who died during the performance of that service. Down in Section 3, it talks about this 2005 Act applies to the deaths of taxpayers that occurred after September 11, 2001, so 2006 or 2007 would be after 2001. Deborah, did you want to add something to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson, thank you. I think the question from staff was, the words say that the person died during the performance of the service. If a person is seriously injured and death occurs 6 months or a year later, but it could be attributed to those injuries, would that be included in this? Or are you simply saying it's during the performance of the service? If the intent is to include those that are mortally injured and die later, then that's how we would interpret that. Mr. Chair.
Chair Butler.
Thank you. Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Deborah, I think, isn't that mentioned only in the summary of the bill, where it was amended to say for a taxpayer whose life is lost while serving on active duty? But isn't that only in...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, I'm looking at the dash A2 amendments on lines 8 and 9.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Riley?
I think what is needed here is for us to tell her that our intent is for that to happen. And I think that is the intent of the bill, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that it is the intent of the bill, and for those who died during the performance of that service, if they die back at home, the death certificate will show the cause of death being the proximate cause of that injury received in the combat zone. They may suffer for some considerable amount of time based upon my experience with death certificates.
Correct. And our intent is for those people to be covered.
For the record, the intent is that they be covered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Further questions of Deborah?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
sorry to
Representative
bring you up. You'll be glad I'm here today, I'm sure. because the Internal Revenue Code says, because it doesn't have a 90-day requirement, so therefore it is limited to deaths in a combat zone or resulting from injuries received in a combat zone, and it's my belief it was the intent of our committee that there can be other ways in which an individual can be supporting a war not in a combat zone that can be dangerous, that who should be included in this. That is my understanding. I'll ask Representative Boquist if he recalls that.
Representative Boquist? I think you and Representative Comp were also on the case. Representative Boquist?
I'm looking for the combat zone sector.
It's not in there.
It's in the Internal Revenue Code 692 represented.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boquist, Oregon law does provide for a connection to IRC 692, which does cancel unpaid tax liability, interest, and penalty for deaths that occur in a combat zone or are due to injuries suffered in a combat zone. So we are connected to that now. This would add another layer of forgiveness of tax debt in addition to what exists in current Oregon law.
And Mr. Chair, I believe that's what the intent of the committee was. I think Representative Nelson is saying the same thing.
But
to add the additional layer of coverage.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Excuse me. Maybe Representative Comp and Representative Boquist recall. Do you remember when we talked about individuals who could die as a result of injuries or just be killed who were in a supportive position of a war? That is what is the question.
Yes, Chair.
We did not plan to limit this to deaths only in a combat zone or resulting from injuries received in a combat zone. It could be...
Representative Boquist.
Here, loading the equipment to go to the combat zone and be killed.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, combat zone is not in the proposed bill and the proposed amendment.
So therefore,
what we're saying with the bill and the amendment is we're expanding the definition. Internal Revenue Federal Code, be gone with it. What we're saying is in the state of Oregon, we're going to cover all those soldiers that went on active duty, whether it was to Umatilla, whether it was to Klamath Falls, or whether it was to Iraq, that are killed in the performance of that duty.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation.
Chair Butler.
Yes, Representative Nelson.
We need to see if Deborah will concur. Do you understand that because it's her concern?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, yes, I agree with that, but there will actually be two different situations in which tax debt can be canceled. One is for people serving in combat zone, where it's canceled under federal law. We connected that under current Oregon law. This will add an additional cancellation for those that are not killed in a combat zone.
Thank you. Representative Berger is recognized.
Could we call for the question on this? Because
thank you. Thank you, Representative. The question is, shall House Bill 2933 be amended with the dash two amendments? Those in favor, please vote aye. Those in opposition, no. The clerk will call a roll. We are appending the A2.
Representative Boquist.
Yes.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Felicio.
Aye.
Representative Trump.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hess.
Aye.
And Chair Butler.
Butler votes aye. With that, we will append the A2 amendments to House Bill 2933. Representative Boquist?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move 2933 as amended to the floor with a two pass.
You've heard the motion. The motion is to move House Bill 2933 with the A2 amendments appended thereto to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. To your motion, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, as amended, it reads almost verbatim the intent of 2933. We've already noted the only correction, and the good Representative Nelson has noted that the bill does in fact cover all active duty service members to be mobilized, regardless of what the federal code may say. This is the state code, and we are going to take care of our soldiers.
Further discussion? Any further discussion of the motion? Hearing and seeing none, the clerk will call a roll. The question is, shall House Bill 2933 with the A2 amendments be moved to the House floor with a due pass amendment? Those in favor, please vote aye. Christie?
Representative Boquist.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Felicio.
Aye.
Representative Trump.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Ryan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hess.
Aye.
And Chair Butler.
Butler votes aye. House Bill 2933 with the A2 amendment, having received the constitutional required vote, is passed to the House floor with the due pass recommendation. Representative Nelson, that's your bill. Would you like to carry it in the House floor?
I would be pleased.
Excellent. Thank you very kindly. With that, we will close the work session on 2933. We will open a work session on House Bill 3096. Elizabeth?
Chairman Butler and committee members, with House Bill 3096, You do have a dash one amendment, but again, it's just trying to clarify exactly what was intended with the bill. So basically, I'll just state what the dash one amendment is doing, and this is dealing with the automatic connection to federal law changes pertaining to the exclusion amount from federal taxable income for combat zone compensation received by a member of the armed forces. It's going to apply then to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2001, or for any tax year affected by the Military Family Tax Relief Act of 2003. So that was the main change here with the Dash 1 Amendment, is just clarifying that it is going to begin for tax years January 1st, 2001, and it will include the Military Family Tax Relief Act of 2003. And then it's going forward. So also it is including in our, list of things that are going to be automatically connected to. We will be automatically connecting to any changes in federal law dealing with the combat zone compensation amount. So as we talked about before, with House Bill 2542, you're connecting with these provisions. You've got that included in your big reconnect bill. But this is a standalone bill for you that will connect just directly to these combat zone compensation issues that the federal government may be taking on and changing. And so I guess...
Why do we need this bill if 2542 passes?
You don't.
If it passes, we wouldn't need it.
Right.
But this is a backup measure.
A backup,
I see.
Yeah.
This is an insurance policy.
Yes.
This is an insurance policy.
Okay. So
all of the fiscal that we're looking at on your fiscal analysis, mm-hmm. personal income tax loss, has already been taken into consideration in 2542 when we had those discussions.
That's correct, yes. So, this won't be any additional revenue loss if you see the passage of 2542.
Okay. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Representative Boquist.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 Amendment to House Bill 3096.
The motion is that the Dash 1 Amendments dated 5-18-05 be appended to House Bill 3096. Your motion, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll just speak to this one, and I won't speak afterwards to say that all we're doing here, members of the committee, is we're buying an insurance policy. This is exactly the Federal Reconnect. You recall that we did the Federal Reconnect. I think unanimously every member here was supportive of the soldiers, regardless of how they may have voted on that one. And since that time, what has transpired is that the present Congress of the United States and the President have signed the supplemental, goes back and actually does, if you recall, increase the death gratuity from those soldiers who've died since 9/11 from 12,500 up to 100,000. And it goes back and adjusts the insurance. And so what we said would be taken care of by the Federal Reconnect will in fact be taken care of by this bill. It was the intent of the Veterans Committee, and Chairman Nelson can speak to this, I guess, to the main motion, was to make sure we had this insurance policy should something not happen with the Federal Reconnect, that we'd have it in the Senate and that we could press them to take care of these few soldiers.
Thank you. Further discussion of the motion. The motion is to append the Dash 1 Amendments, dated 5-18-05, to House Bill 3096. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And recognize for the record that Representative Berger is excused on another matter. This Representative Hunt, this is your bill, and we now have it with Dash 1 Amendment. Would you like to speak to it? Okay, thank you very much. Representative Boquist is recognized.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3096 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
The motion is to move House Bill 3096 as amended with the Dash 1 amendments to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion on this bill? Representative Comp is recognized.
Chairman Butler, just for the record, this does come from the work of the Veterans Committee, and we absolutely want to make sure that our Oregon servicemen are taken care of, and we don't want anything to slip under the radar here, and so that would prevent this. And I just hope that this committee recognizes that this is an insurance policy, and we want to make sure it's active.
It's like paying your tithing. It's just additional fire insurance, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
And I wish to also express my appreciation for representative the work that Representative Nelson has done on the Veterans Committee. All of these bills which we've discussed here today deal with the good work that has come out of that committee. Representative Hunt, we've passed a couple of your bills already that you've been involved with. We appreciate your good work. It goes without saying, Representative Boquist, your diligence in working, reworking, and trying to work these down so that the fiscal on each of these various bills was such that we could get them in, under the radar of the co-chairs and the leadership in the Senate and House is greatly appreciated. And you've worked tirelessly, yeah. Even I'm not sure how many calls we had back and forth while you were back. He's taking care of other military business, yeah, but we do appreciate your kindness and graciousness in working these issues through. With that, the motion is to pass House Bill 3096 with -1 amendments to the House floor with the due pass recommendation. We'll call the roll, please. Those in favor, please vote aye.
Representative Boquist.
Yes.
Representative Esposito.
Aye.
Representative Felicio.
Aye.
Representative Tong.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Vargas.
With my thanks to everyone who worked so hard on this, I vote aye.
Vice Chair Howe.
Aye.
And Chair Butler.
Butler votes aye, and we will excuse Representative Berger on other House business. House Bill 3096 with the -1 amendment, having received the constitutional majority, was passed to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Hunt, would you be so kind to carry that for us, please? We appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we'll assign that to Representative Hunt. And you have a copy of the amendment, Representative Hunt? Excellent. Thank you. With that, we will close the work session on House Bill 3096. Colleagues, we still have three items left on our agenda for today. That's House Bills 3333, 2737, 2847 that were scheduled for work session today. With your continuing diligence and the good work of those other members of our military, of the Veterans House Committee on Veteran Services, we'll continue to wait on those bills until such time as they can be thoroughly worked and vetted through the various channels. And so with this, I would like to go ahead and delay any further work session today on those three House bills. So with that, colleagues, that wraps up all of the items which were on our agenda today. There being no further business today of the House Committee on Revenue, we will adjourn for the day. Thank you very much. Thank you.